You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 23 February. We've got a SPAR trading update ahead of market open. That after CEO quit on Friday. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nkunsa Sanlam Private Wealth. So the story would have been US GDP a bit light, perhaps. It would have been SPAR, but nope, it is tariff chaos is back. Checking with Jason Swartz from Old Mutual Investment Group. Surprises, he's looking for both upside and downside. And what about the election? It's still a way away. Our local election, probably November. Is that something to keep an eye on? And then we're going to be chatting with VAT Modernization SA, the overhauling of the VAT system with e-invoicing. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management, investing more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb: stricter gambling advertising controls are on their way. Government is responding to growing outrage over societal harm caused by gambling. Business day, AngloGold's Egyptian acquisition pays off. AngloGold Ashanti's gold mineral reserves end of the year with 36.5 million ounces. Morning markets, US was green, S&P 0.7 higher, NASDAQ up 0.9%, and the 10-year is below 4.1. The East is mixed. Well, Sydney 0.9%, Tokyo closed for Emperor's birthday, Hong Kong up 2.2%, and Tencent up 2.8%. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 5,190. Brent is the only red at 7,109. Platinum 2,193. Palladium 1,816. We got the rand at 1,601. Bitcoin 64,900. And a top 40 opening call, green open, 650 points, little over 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nkunsa Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. Late Friday, after our close, we got the news that the US Supreme Court had essentially nixed President Trump's tariff plans. He was using an emergency provision. They said you couldn't. Within hours, he had put in a new 10% tariff. He then pushed that to 15%. Surprisingly, the market fairly sanguine. I mean, if this had happened, I don't know, a year, 3 years ago, we'd be all over the place. We're back to chaos and uncertainty, which is kind of feels like default state for the market these days.
Yeah, morning, Simon. I think you spot on there. I mean, default state for the US is a little bit of chaos, unfortunately. And, you know, I think you're waking up this morning, traders and people in the market looking at this and going, well, you know, it's business as usual, isn't it? Mm. I mean, I guess the hard to say positive on this chaos, but the positive side is, you know, some countries like South Africa at a 10 or 15% levy will actually be ironically better off than the initial sort of tariff threats that were placed. But I guess the other positive as well, I think maybe the U.S. guardrails are still intact. I mean, that was a huge ruling with the Supreme Court, contrary to the abuse that the president threw at the judges. But it does seem America still has some, as I said, guardrails in place, and that is a positive.
Yeah, I agree on both of those. So let's then shift. We had the GDP data out. It was 1.4%, which was light. But, I mean, there was a government shutdown. There were some T's and C's. Consumers certainly showing some pressure in it. Your thought, I mean, 1.4 is, I mean, look, to be clear, we would ironically love a 1.4, and maybe we'll get it this year. It's a bit light, particularly with all, I would have thought, with all the AI spend going through, all that CapEx.
It is light. It is light. And also to throw into that softer GDP print is also the sort of acceleration of price pressures they're getting as well. You know, inflation is coming up a little bit as well. You know, this is not an ideal scenario when you've got certainly slowing economic growth, rising inflation. Most of you who want to be part-time economists, you know, this is usually called stagflation. That is a very tricky environment to navigate in, just to make things a little bit more complicated. But it was a reasonably decent ratchet down. I mean, 4.4% in the previous few months you know what, down to sub 1.5. So, yeah, I think this does sum it up, though. I think it is a slowing global growth in the world, and also trying, as you said, Simon, trying to figure out where the AI fits into all of this as well. Are jobs being lost off the back of it? Does it sort of slow things down? Mm. We don't know yet. So a lot of uncertainty and a lot of difficult waters to navigate.
Yeah, and shown by I think expectation was around 3%, so it came in well below, which shows, as you say, that complexity. Sibanye-Stillwater results out, I mean, good as expected. They've got gold, they've got PGMs. They're also writing down a lot, including lithium, but a dividend in what I think 3 years from them. I mean, pretty much my sense is doing as expected.
It's doing as expected. I mean, it's earnings boosted. I mean, almost a 40% increase in that rand gold price that they factored in. I mean, the PGM basket up almost 30% as well. I mean, difficult not to make money as a PGM player in this environment. And don't forget, I mean, this was one of the best performing stocks on the JSE last year.
Yeah.
It really was, sort of from, from zero to hero when these things turn. A little word of caution, though, Simon, for holders out there, is a little bit of debt. It is a little bit concerning. The debt has increased. But I guess, you know, that's always been the Sibanye problem. They are sitting with a lot of debt. Net debt increase and now sitting at 22.1 billion. I think we had factored in about 20. So just a little bit of word of caution, you know, even despite absolutely printing money, you know, this debt can be a bit of a problem even for the PGM miners at these levels.
Yeah, it's a great point that it is a large amount of debt that they have there. 22.1 billion, that is a giant, giant number. We'll leave it there. Nick Kunze, Sunland Private Wealth, always appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Jason Swartz, portfolio manager at Old Mutual Investment Group. Jason, appreciate the time again. If we look back to 2025, and particularly locally, it was full of surprises, which perhaps the surprising part was that the surprises were mostly to the upside. My question is, the green shoots that we're starting to see, is this really the beginning of a potentially more durable growth path for South Africa?
Yes, I think that's definitely on the cards. You know, it's been a long time since South Africa's had so many positive tailwinds to benefit from. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, take this through to be a bit more enduring. You know, and obviously, you know, you've seen credit rating upgrades, you've seen, you know, us being removed from the grey list, and then also some kind of activity-based stuff where, you know, it hasn't really seen growth yet, but you've had lower cost of capital with bond yields and currency and more market-related, you know, market-related tailwinds, and then obviously the budget because of the commodity boom and in terms of trade. So everything has kind of gone right in 2025. It's really a case of, can we translate that into job-enhancing growth that'll benefit the economy over the next 3 years? So that is the big question, but we are hopeful and optimistic about it, I would say.
I want to come to that ability to sort of use that good fortune. Some of it, I mean, a lot of it is frankly our own doing. I mean, you know, we got off the grey list. That we did that as a country. There was a team at FIC, but certainly we'll all take credit for it. Some of it, and I'm thinking like the precious metal boom, I mean, that's one of those things that when it comes along, you grab it because it's beyond our control.
Correct. So I think there are kind of active steps to make sure we do benefit from some of these tailwinds that only happen kind of once in a couple of years. So if you think about what's happening with National Treasury that are trying to implement fiscal policies that, you know, sustain us over longer periods of time. So obviously there needs to be more discipline around spending because, you know, some of these terms of trade boosts that we have seen, it's not really going to last for that long. Yeah. So you are seeing that discipline come through. You are seeing, I think, politically with the GNU, what's happening there. You are seeing, at least in terms of policy implementation around reform and Vulindlela. I think there is hard work being done that acknowledges that, you know, we are going to kind of have our time in the sun, but we are, you know, next year or 2027, 2028 could be tough years as well. And we need to be able to kind of withstand that with a little bit more durability.
Because some of this is slow. I mean, Eskom, I mean, it feels like load shedding. I suppose one day we didn't get load shed. So in a sense that, you know, it did kind of disappear overnight. There was a lot happening in the back end. But I think, for example, logistics, I mean, you know, Kumba Iron Ore saying, yep, things are better, but there's still a lot of backlog. It is a slow process, even if it is in the right direction in many cases.
Yeah, I would agree. I think a lot of it is just because it's almost undoing a lot of the bad work that was done in the last decade. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is just, you know, unwinding or being able to change regulation, for example. I think logistics is a critical policy lever that, you know, in combination with private sector participation, is probably the biggest factor, I think, that'll drive higher growth. But you are seeing better, I guess, operational performance in Eskom. Mm-hmm. You are seeing better operational performance in Transnet. You know, you had an update in December around that. But, you know, these things don't, as you say, they don't change overnight. So we need to be committed about, you know, keeping that progress and that momentum going forward. And I think you are seeing some of that, yes.
The trade tensions, let's call them, well, they're the world over at this point. They're not going away anytime soon, I suspect. They're certainly not helping, but maybe they haven't been as bad as many anticipated sort of this time last year. I mean, Algoa got renewed, albeit just for a year. We're talking with China. The impact, not as severe.
No, you know, I think some of it is just because, you know, we've had, so that uncertainty has definitely faded, which has been good for SA. Mm. A little bit of renegotiation, kind of bilateral renegotiation, a lot of kind of countries and companies kind of stocking up ahead of tariffs. So that has also helped. But I just think about like all of the geopolitical attention that's happened. And, you know, if let's say the Iranian ship scandal happened or some Eskom issue happened last year, the same time last year, the year before, you would have seen a very different response from investors to our bond market, to our currency market. Whereas some of the kind of poor political news and trade tension stuff that is currently happening, you know, it's kind of, if you look at it within the context of some of the reform and the growth and the better fiscal story, it all creates, you know, this ability for South Africa to withstand the crosswinds a lot better. So on the one hand, it has been, the global kind of has been a little bit more, you know, a little better from a kind of clarity and certainty perspective. But I think we're also doing the work on the ground, which is great.
Yeah, that's an important point. A last question. We've got municipal elections late this year. We as a country, we actually do elections very well. Is this a potential risk or is this just maybe some noise on the horizon?
It's not clear yet. It hasn't, you haven't really seen, you know, what the campaigns are going to look like, whether you know, the DA and the ANC are actually going to try and stick it to each other, you know, whereas they're actually on a national level, they're trying to work together. But there definitely are, you know, key battlegrounds where they are fighting, for example, in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. So it'll definitely be a test in terms of the stability of the national coalition. But, you know, I would say we need to wait and see. It's not clear exactly how the campaigns, from a tone perspective, and how they're going to, you know, how they're actually going to claim victories in some of these municipalities, whether they are going to, you know, call out their partners or whether they, you know, going to do it in the spirit of kind of nationally, you know, things are working a lot better. For now, I'm going to think about it more as noise as opposed to a big, significant political risk.
Yeah, and let's hope it stays just as noise. We leave it there. Jason Swartz, he's Portfolio Manager, Old Mutual Investment Group. Always appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. One of the oddities perhaps of last year was that surprises were mostly to the upside on the economy, the upgrades, the getting off the grey list, etc. Question is, do you expect that to potentially continue into 2026? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money smoother returns with Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Shannon Friedman, CEO of VAT Modernization SA. Shannon, appreciate the time. 800 billion estimated tax gap that SARS is desperately trying to get its hands onto. Of course, part of this is the VAT Modernization Project. Talk us through what this VAT Modernization Project is and what we can expect.
Morning, Simon. Great to be here. So in terms of that modernization project, it's all about modernizing how SARS is getting visibility into the VAT supply chain. And in doing so, having greater visibility in what's going on with our transactions, making it easier for them, for well, making it more difficult for businesses to, I suppose, hide or conceal any VAT liabilities, such as overstating overstating inputs or understating outputs. So in terms of just how that just works by comparison, currently how businesses report VAT, as everybody knows, every month or every 2 months or so ever, businesses submit their aggregated VAT returns. What this would essentially get replaced with is that businesses will now be expected to do real-time reporting of their VAT transactions. So every time they're raising invoices, they're raising credit notes, anything that has some sort of VAT implication, that data is going to be automatically reported to SARS on a near real-time basis. And that's going to be achieved by introducing e-invoicing to South African businesses.
Okay, so that's the whole e-invoicing in that real-time. It does mean, I mean, that then practically means that businesses are going to need they're going to need some sort of ERP system within, and many will potentially have, and I'm thinking particularly the large corporates, but they're going to need some sort of tweaks on their systems to enable that compliance.
Absolutely. So even with businesses with established ERP systems where this invoice data still sits, it's not going to be in a ready format to be transmitted to SARS. Reason being is obviously everybody's systems are now different. They all, suited to their own internal processes or whatever system or brand they have. So everything's sitting there quite in different formats, and that's going to need to be standardized so that SARS can ingest this all in an automated way. In the same way, there's going to need to be some sort of systems in place that actually gets that data, out of their systems and to SARS's systems in the first place. So obviously that's going to need some sort of add-on and integration with these businesses' systems in order to get that data there as well.
What sort of deadlines? Do we have an idea around when SARS and Treasury wants to implement?
So the dates being thrown around, there's nothing necessarily super concrete in terms of what those dates are. SARS has announced this as part of their 5-year strategic plan, ending in 2029-2030. So we'd imagine it's going to be rolled out and implemented sometime then. There have been dates thrown around that 2028, that's going to be the deadline where they're expecting rollout among store businesses. Whether that actually actualizes, we're going to have to obviously wait and see. But we're looking at probably a 5-year implementation rollout to get this thing up and started.
Yeah, gotcha. And maybe we'll hear something on Wednesday's budget in terms perhaps of deadlines and the like. In terms of this, I mean, I think a lot of particularly maybe the sort of smaller and mid-sized businesses are thinking, more pain, more headache, etc. But truthfully, this could actually be a benefit to business. This can actually sort of help them, certainly in terms of what VAT liability is, but just in systems. This is not necessarily net negative. In fact, a lot of ways it's going to be positive for them.
Absolutely. I think what's important to also just take into account, because people hear real time, they hear, granular data, they think this is going to be a large burden on these types of businesses. Most businesses, small, medium, are entering their, creating their invoices in some sort of system already, whether it's some sort of, a payment point system or some sort of like a Yoko device or something like that. So there already is that initial database point to actually start the e-invoicing process. What ideally businesses are going to want to have is to have some sort of solution available that integrates with the systems they already have and essentially automate that compliance element to SARS that's getting done in the background. And obviously there's going to be a little bit of work involved in going through that preparation and having it there already. Once we get beyond that and you stop seeing e-invoicing as just merely a compliance issue, the benefits in terms of the commercial benefits that e-invoicing can have for businesses is really, really extremely significant. We've seen this across the world where a lot of businesses in different countries have already implemented e-invoicing as part of their processes. It allows for a lot of opportunities in the terms of digital transformation, automation of AR processes, AP processes, and probably is going to be the basis for a lot of AI integration, just given the fact that you now have all your transaction data in a standardized, easy-to-process format.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And that standardization actually has all sorts of benefits. We leave it there. Shannon Friedman, CEO of VAT Modernization SA. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Kieran Whitten, he of Anchor, on Friday, talking around Goldfields, a strong dividend, but then also an extra $353 million in additional returns, buybacks and special dividends. We asked you if this is how miners should be rewarding shareholders. Almost two-thirds said yes, shower me with dividends. A third was saying dividends, but also a bit of capex, and the rest said you need to spend it on capex. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. AI structural trends.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.